In just a minute, I want to lead us in singing a short song that's going to keep our attention focused on Jesus. Paul brought us there at that excellent Lord's Table talk, keeping us focused on Jesus. And I'd like to lead us in number 983 in just a second. In the sermon this morning, I'm going to read three passages, short passages, so don't feel like you have to turn to all of them. But I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 13, Galatians chapter 2, and then Matthew chapter 25. So I'll reiterate those as we go back to that reading, but I'd like to lead us in 983 at this time, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer before we get into the sermon. We'll sing this one twice. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you, God, for this time that we have once again to gather around your word. And I pray, God, as we have open Bibles before us this morning, that also our hearts and minds would be open to the truth that you've left for us in your word. And I pray, God, as we finish up this series that we've been on, talking about the relationships that you want us to have with other people, I pray, God, that our relationship with you will have been strengthened and that will manifest itself in stronger and deeper relationships with one another and with those that we would consider to be our neighbors, and even, Father, with those that we would consider to be strangers to us. We know, God, that you call us to live a life that's focused on serving others in your name as we try to draw others into your kingdom of light. And I pray, God, that in all that we do and in all that we say, we would keep in front of us the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and that we would live with thankfulness and gratitude for that gift that you've given to us as a result of your plan and Jesus' willingness to die for our sins. We thank you, God, for all that you've done for us and all that you've given to us. We ask you to be with us now as we look into your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin reading in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm only going to read verse 2. Last week we looked at verse 1, and I'm going to let verse 2 be the kind of the theme verse for this lesson. And it simply says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." In Galatians chapter 2, verses 12 through 21, "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And finally, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So this will be the fourth lesson in a four-part series that I've been going through on the relationships that we find in the Bible that God is calling us to have. And I've looked mainly at two different passages to bring these ideas out. The first 2 weeks, we looked at the relationships that we're called to have with God and with our neighbors. And for those two lessons, our theme section of Scripture was the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus is tested and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And when he turns the question back around to the expert in the law who was asking him, the answers given are, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we get the excellent parable of the Samaritan when the expert in the law wants to justify himself and ask, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And the answer that Jesus ends up giving is anybody who has a need when you run across them. And so we learn from those two lessons that we can, that not just can, but we're called to grow in our relationship with God. That we're called to find ways of deepening that relationship and never taking it for granted and constantly thinking about that and getting sin out of our lives and learning how to pray or read the Bible so that we can draw closer to God. And in the lesson about neighbors, we learned how the Good Samaritan is an example of serving anybody that you run across who has a need. Whether it's somebody that's a literal neighbor or somebody that's really close to us, or maybe even, as in his case, a random person that we run across and we have the ability and the means to help that person, whether we do or not, Jesus says about helping those in need that we should go and do likewise, that we should be like the Samaritan. And then last week we began looking in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. That simple passage said, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters." And we talked about the call to love fellow believers. And last week I really tried to spell out some ways that we can engage in fellowship with one another so that we can grow in our relationships with each other. That we ought to be thinking about the people around us here that we can serve, that we can reach out to, that we can help them to grow in faith the way that others have helped us to grow in faith. And that if we're here today thinking about how we can get our needs met. We're probably here thinking with the wrong reasons, that we need to be thinking outwardly and how we can love and encourage those who are around us. And today we'll finish the series by thinking about this word that the writer of Hebrews threw out about strangers. When he says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." He probably has in mind the story of Abraham, when the three angels came to Abraham and he served them without knowing that he was serving angels, without knowing that he was directly serving the Lord himself. And the writer of Hebrews wants to reflect on that theme of hospitality and how a core practice of Christians is to be hospitable to those in need, even to strangers, because at the end of the day, we never really know who it is that we're serving. We might find ourselves like Abraham or like others, serving perhaps even an angel. But if we keep to ourselves and never share with those in need, never share with those around us, we may find ourselves passing up those opportunities. And as Jesus said in that parable in Matthew chapter 25, if we ignore the least of those around us, if we do not show hospitality to those who have needs, we're actually neglecting Jesus himself. And so hospitality is a theme that runs throughout all of Scripture. And typically, when we think about hospitality, we probably think about being hospitable means to have folks into our house from church, maybe for a meal after worship service is over. And that's a good expression of hospitality, but that's only one expression of hospitality. It's not the only definition of hospitality. And so today we'll look a little more at what Scripture has to say about that. But I'd like to address first a couple of challenges that we have with hospitality. When we think about being hospitable to others, and when we think about the passage here in Hebrews where he says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers," I can't help but remind or be reminded of the teaching I was told when I was younger about don't talk to strangers. Which obviously when you're dealing with kids, that's one thing, and it's hopefully something that we kind of grow out of, but sometimes we don't. And we live our lives being afraid of people, with fear of others. I remember the experience I had when I was young with my Uncle Paul. He wasn't my uncle at the time. He was dating my aunt, and he was in the same industry that my dad was in. And so he would come to town every so often to do business with my dad. And he'd come by the house to see me and my brother, and he'd always bring some ice cream with him. And looking back, he was probably trying to get in good with the nephews since he was dating my aunt. And obviously it worked out, but we'd always, when Dad would mention something about Paul was going to be in town, we'd always be looking forward to him coming by the house to find out what he was going to be bringing us. And that was a time that we were very eager to show hospitality to our traveling friend because he was bringing us gifts. But that's in contrast to the warning that we give to children, where we're often warned to stay away from strangers. And for good reason. Children don't have the developed faculties to understand or know what danger, you know, when they're around it. They might talk to the wrong person. And so we offer that as a warning. But it's a warning that, while good for children, if we don't evolve into a deeper understanding of that as we become more mature, or if we don't develop a biblical understanding of who strangers are according to what the Bible says, then we'll find ourselves being guilty of limiting hospitality. Because we'll find ourselves living in fear of others rather than thinking about how we can be hospitable to those that the Bible calls strangers. Another word for strangers in the Bible is simply the foreigners, the aliens. It's an Old Testament word that describes those who were not part of the nation of Israel, who might be passing through, much like the Samaritan did in the parable that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. He was a stranger to those around them because he didn't belong. He wasn't part of the mix. He wasn't part of the group. And so that's the definition of stranger that we want to be thinking about. And again, when we think about hospitality, and when we think about it primarily as an expression of having people from church into our homes, we find that maybe we limit hospitality to those that we like and those that we are most comfortable with. And so hospitality, as we tend to practice it, gets reduced as a definition to having a very small rotation of church members home with us for Sunday lunch or something like that. And we find ourselves being very hospitable with those that we know the best, but maybe not so much with those that we don't know as well. And we take care of those that we know the best, but when we hear about somebody, even a member of the church that has a need, if we don't know them that well, we tend to think somebody else will take care of that need. And I'm not saying that to be critical about anybody. I'm just saying this is the way that we tend to think. As we form our thoughts around what it means to be hospitable, that's just the ways that we gravitate towards practicing hospitality. In some cases, hospitality is seen as a gift that only a few people have. That person has the gift of hospitality, we say. And therefore, if we don't have that gift, then we don't have to practice it. So when we operate under those two misunderstandings of hospitality, where we're either living in fear of people because of experiences we had or things we were told, or we limit hospitality to those that we like and are most comfortable with, we really miss out on the bigger picture of hospitality as we're taught it in Scripture. And biblically, hospitality is a sign of God's grace and a sign of His kingdom that we need to share with other people. If we think about hospitality in terms of it being a sign of God's grace, then we can think that whenever we're hospitable to somebody else, in whatever form it takes, whether it's having church members into our home for lunch, whether it's going out at night to meet a need because somebody called us on the phone, whether it's a literal stranger crossing paths with us and we have a need that they have a need that we're able to meet, whenever we show hospitality in that way, we are demonstrating God's grace to that person. And so hospitality, as we see it broken down for us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, among the other passages that we read, hospitality places our emphasis on other people, whether we call them the other, the stranger, the foreigner, and it seeks to meet their needs instead of ours. This is why the writer of Hebrews can say, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers." Now he gives a result that you may end up serving somebody who's God, and you don't even know it. But he says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Because we can forget to show hospitality. Because we can become consumed with ourselves, or we can become focused with the good relationships that we have with other believers, and we can neglect some of these other relationships that we're called to have. This is why I wanted to go through this series of four lessons, to show that God wants us to balance these four relationships with people, that we can't have only a relationship with God at the expense of everything else, or we can't focus only on God and other believers, that God also calls us to reflect His love outward to neighbors and to strangers, to those who don't yet know Him and might only come to know Him as they come to know Him reflected to them by us. And so in Galatians chapter 2, when we read in that passage about Peter, when Paul had to go to Peter and call him a hypocrite to his face, the problem is that Peter was not being hospitable to the Gentile believers. And in so doing, he was actually representing a misunderstanding of what the gospel was. Because he was teaching one thing, that in the gospel there were no distinctions between Gentiles and Jews that needed to be bothered with. But when some folks from Jerusalem came up for a visit to see how the churches were doing, suddenly Peter turned around and told the Gentiles, now you guys need to start acting like Jews for a little while. And the hospitality that he was showing to them as new believers in the church went out the window, because he began treating them in a controlling way, in a way that required them to make changes that they weren't required to make by the gospel. And so Paul went to him and called him a hypocrite to his face, because he was actually leading people away from God and not closer to them. And Peter was, in the way that he was approaching fellowship with them, he was withholding grace when he refused hospitality because of these Jews that came up from Jerusalem to pay a visit. Peter was fearful of them, and he allowed his fear of them to allow discrimination with the Gentiles he was focusing on, and he refused hospitality to them. He refused to continue engaging with them in the hospitable way that he previously was. And so Paul had to teach him, and by teaching Peter, he was teaching the larger group that was there about what hospitality is, about how it's a sign of God's grace and kingdom, and we need to share freely with others, without discrimination and without fear. So if we think about those three passages that we read this morning, the admonition in Hebrews, to keep or to not forget to show hospitality to strangers, the teaching in Galatians about representing ourselves accurately and showing hospitality to all people, and perhaps most importantly of all, the teaching in Matthew, in the parable that Jesus gave, where he says how we show hospitality to others is a reflection of how we actually treat Jesus. Whether we show hospitality to the least of these, and in so doing we actually do it for Jesus, or whether we do not show hospitality to the least of these, and in so doing we actually neglect Jesus. When we think about those things, we see that we're called to practice hospitality by focus on serving others and by being welcoming to all people. In the ancient world, hospitality meant several things, and I've touched on some of those, but for many it was an attitude and a way of life. And we could have read the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and gotten a picture in those letters of what happened in the ancient world, where traveling teachers would go around from place to place. Many of these were preachers and teachers of the gospel, and they would travel around. And because they were traveling, they were dependent on other people to help take care of them when they came to a city or to a town to teach. And so many Christians would show hospitality to them by opening up their homes for an extended stay, letting them stay in their homes, letting them perhaps even preach and teach others inside of their homes, feeding them, taking care of these traveling teachers. It was a way of life. These travelers would be welcomed in. Their needs would be met, and provisions would even be given for the next stage of their journey. This was fairly common for many of those early believers, and we can think about that practice and how we could recover something of that today. What can we do to become more hospitable to those that we interact with on a regular basis, or even to those strangers that happen to cross our paths? One thing I've already mentioned that many do and ought to keep doing, and if we're not doing it, maybe we could consider doing this, but having folks over into our homes for a meal, or just for coffee, or just for a short visit, whether it's church members, or maybe we decide that we're going to start inviting guests over to our home to have meals with so that we can get to know folks better. Or maybe for some of us, we realize that in the neighborhood in which we live, there's a family or a couple of families that are just out there on their own. They don't really know anybody that well. Maybe their kids are loud or whatever the case may be. They work different hours, so they're not around when the rest of the neighborhood is. Maybe you can decide to reach out to them and to serve them. That you're going to take it as your goal to be hospitable to those people and get to know them somewhat. Serve them. Demonstrate God's grace to them by reaching out to them. Or maybe you can decide to volunteer somewhere where you can share a welcoming attitude with another person. There's many, many volunteer organizations that you could join that will put you into a place where you can interact with other people, and you can share a welcoming attitude with them, and by doing so, demonstrate God's grace. In Matthew chapter 25, in that passage that we read in the parable, Jesus both commended people and condemned them by whether or not they served him. Those were hospitality categories. Seeing where needs existed and serving those who had that need, regardless of how socially important they were, regardless of whether serving them would be able to benefit you in some way. And Jesus commended those who reached out and served what he called the least of these, because he said, you're actually serving me. But he condemned those who looked at others and said, I'm not going to get ahead if I serve them. That's a waste of my time. Or I'm not getting my hands dirty with those people. And they ignored them. And Jesus said, when you ignored them, you ignored me. When you saw that need and didn't meet it, you saw my need and didn't meet it to me. And Jesus' specific teaching in that parable is that he came to them as a stranger. And it was the righteous who welcomed him in. And it was the unrighteous who didn't. When we think about what Hebrews wrote about, do not forget to keep serving, to show hospitality to strangers, because in doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it.
Jesus said the same thing. You served me and you didn't know it. You ignored and neglected me and you didn't know it. We need to think about the Bible's teaching about hospitality and how God calls us to reach out and to serve and to be welcoming to all. We never know who it is that we're serving. We never know the real need that's being met when we reach out to a person. We never know what the end result will be if we take a minute of our time to share and be welcoming to another person. We never know the person that we might draw closer to receiving Jesus as their Savior, to taking on the gospel, because we gave up a little bit of our time to serve somebody else. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the Lord, maybe you're here and have not yet begun a relationship with God and you feel like it's that time, it's time to be baptized into the name of Jesus. We know what Scripture teaches about receiving the forgiveness of sins and being added to the church, receiving the Holy Spirit and the promise of eternal life. Or maybe you're here with a different spiritual need that we can help you with. If we can serve you this morning, if we as a church can be hospitable to you, we encourage you to let us know what your need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.